So what we're going to talk about is hiring. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit.
We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Okay.
And when I mentioned that before we started, you said, well, what part of hiring? And I was like, oh, crap. You're right. This could be like a 6-hour episode if we talked about hiring. So we decided we want to talk about hiring and the interviewing part of hiring. And we're going to start with some of the more popular questions that Steli gets around sales. Actually, what he said was that some of the more popular questions have everything to do with hiring salespeople and interviewing them specifically. So I'm going to kick it off by you talking about salespeople and how to hire them.
How to interview
specifically
salespeople.
Interviewing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get asked this a lot, like how to interview salespeople, especially from non-salesy people that need to hire salespeople.
Sure, they don't understand
how the hell do I interview for somebody for sales?
And is this is the other problem I have with sales around this, which is, are we talking about just sales reps? Are we talking about sales leaders? Are we talking about any of them? I'm just curious because there's a big difference.
There's a big difference. Yeah. I think that most people ask for like the sales reps
part
of
it. Let's focus on that.
Doesn't matter if it's like a junior or senior, but like somebody who's going to be doing not a manager,
bag carrying kind of.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So for those folks, there's a couple of things. I mean, I always throw the question back by saying, you know, what's the best interview question to know if somebody's going to be a great basketball player on your team?
Yeah.
Of course, you can ask a few questions to a salesperson, but ultimately you need to throw them a ball, right? Yeah. You need to see them play.
Yeah.
So there's things that you can ask that are culturally, there's things that you can ask specifically about consistency, specifically about rejection and failure, specifically about, you know.
I'm sure you blogged about some of these questions.
Yes. They're online.
We can link them up. Yeah.
And then specifically about like why they are competitive and what makes them competitive and what drives them, what motivates them. So you can ask some of these questions and maybe broader, more cultural questions to your team, your company, the kind of culture you're building. But then as quickly as possible to a sales rep, I would have them sell you something. Either if, you know, hey, give me a cold call or a pitch on what you're selling right now, your prior company.
Yeah, I like that.
Or if they've never sold anything before, you could say, hey, let's pick something that you know and use. Do you like Dropbox or Gmail or something?
Sell it to me.
You know, sell it to me.
Yeah.
Pitch me on it. So you need to have them pitch. And then what I look for is if I do a mock sales pitch with a sales rep in an interview setting, I don't even necessarily going to give them a really hard time at the beginning. Specifically, I give them super easy time because they're so nervous talking to me anyways. But my point is I'm just going to gauge like the question really just is, would I like to talk to this person and would I want to buy something from them? Because a lot of times people tell me, well, how do I know if somebody's good at selling? I'm not a salesperson. Just ask yourself, would you want to buy from this person?
Would you want to talk to this person and have them sell you on something, basically?
Yes. And the core thing.
So doing a mock thing like that can give you a lot of information about the person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to make the mock situation really powerful, you don't just need them to pretend they're selling you. You need to really get into character and be the prospect.
Okay. How do you do that? Let's talk about that.
Well, you need to either understand who the customer is. So typically in mock situations, I would tell them, don't tell me what you're going to be selling me. Tell me who I am. Who's the buyer? Who's your customer?
So you make them tell you the buyer first.
Yes. And I try to get into character.
Pick what to sell. Tell me the buyer. And then you get in a role of being the buyer.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to think of the objections they would have. And
stuff
like that.
I try to get into character as good as I can and try to be that person.
Sure,
right?
Of course, yeah.
So, and then I'll do a very fairly easy call in the sense that I'm going to be a very like as open-minded as I can be and as nice as I can be. And then at the end of the call, I'll give them some feedback on one specific thing and I'll do another mock call just to see how does this person deal with criticism and how quickly can they adapt or learn.
Right. And what I really like about that is you're trying to figure out what they're going to do when they're on the job.
Yes.
Okay. So riffing on that, I think when you're interviewing people, what I see people do is a few mistakes. One of them is they don't actually try to figure out how the person's going to be when they do the job. And so I'm going to give an example from marketing. So in marketing, if you're hiring a person in marketing, again, don't care who, but let's just say a marketing manager or somebody who's doing tactical marketing, like email marketing or something like that, right? The good news about marketing, just like with sales, is it's a very tangible thing. So If their job is heavy on copywriting, I might ask them to write some copy, rewrite our homepage copy.
Right.
They might tell me, oh, I need more info, whatever. Fine. You know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. That's bad. Depends on what I'm hiring them for.
Yeah.
If they're focused on email marketing, I might give them a mock scenario that's actually real, where it's like, hey, there's these 5 emails. Here's all the stats on them. How would you make them better? Right. Mm-hmm. So basically it's the same tactic as you're doing, except very specific to the role they're coming in and giving them an example of something they would do every week,
right?
Every day even.
Right.
And just seeing how they think about it, seeing how they deal with it. And that's been really valuable. In some cases, like, I'll know a lot about the company they came from, or the five companies ago or something sometimes, or 3 companies ago. So I might start asking them things about that company just to see how they think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been helpful too. Like, at the last company you're at, you were doing email marketing. I'd love to hear what you learned. And then that'll tell me, how do they think about learning, right? Which is really important in marketing, where you're constantly learning. And if you have someone that's not constantly learning, then you're going to have a problem, regardless of whether they're in one specific niche like email marketing or on a wide basis marketing.
Yeah.
Because if they can't learn, they're screwed. So I'm generally interviewing around, can they learn? And trying to get examples from the past when they've actually learned and how they describe that.
Yeah, I love that.
Last thing I'll say is, and this works for almost any role that's non-engineering, is make them write something for you. So we've had people like head of customer success we wanted to hire, and had one of the candidates write a 2-pager on how would she structure the team and the tools we would use. Mm. And she was able to lay it out and say why, and say what the goal is and everything. And that just laid out her thinking. And so I think one of the most interesting things that I see is, like, if I tell someone to do that and they say they're not good at writing, they're done.
Yep.
Because that means they can't communicate.
Yeah.
And they're literally done. Like, you're not going to write something for me in an interview, or like, if I ask you to, you're just done. It's a very key skill. And I've had people like, I'm like, sorry, dude, like, you can't communicate. That means you can't send an email.
Yeah.
Right. So that's been an easy opt out for people. But otherwise it's like, here's the amazing thing about this. I can take the candidates I have and make them go. And by giving them all the same exercise, I can make the whole thing apples to apples.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, it's like, this person gave me a 2-pager, that person gave it. And then in the company, we're evaluating at least on the tangible skills, like the things they'd have to do every day outside of culture, in a very like apples to apples basis. Like, this person said this. What do we like? What do we not like? Is that how we want to do it here? Mm-hmm. Right? Does that person align with what we want to do? They come up with ideas we didn't think of and we like them.
Yeah.
Right? There's a very easy debate that takes 20 minutes with whoever's interviewing. The other thing I'll say, and this is the most pathetic part of interviewing at a company for candidates, any kind of candidate, is that the same, if I'm interviewed by multiple people and I'm a candidate and everyone's asking me the same fucking question, their hiring process sucks. I might opt out of it as a candidate.
Yeah.
If I'm smart.
Yeah.
Unless I really want to work there, or I'm hired to help with recruiting.
Yeah. You know what? But
it's an amateur mistake.
But in reverse, I totally agree with you. But in reverse, I love a candidate that asks 5 different people in the company one very specific question
all the time. Yeah.
To see if the answers are consistent.
But that's smart. I absolutely agree with that. But I'm saying, when the interviewers are all asking the same question, it's like, you're wasting the candidate's time, you're wasting your time, and you don't have a process for hiring.
Yeah. For us, one thing that we do is, every time somebody interviews a candidate,
and
then they pass that interview, and that person within our company says, okay, Stella, I've talked to them. Next stage is you talk to them. The very first question we always ask everybody who's next is, what are some things I need to find out that you haven't learned yet?
Yeah. Or what are you questionable about still?
Yes. Right?
Whatever.
What are your doubts? What are your fears? What is the thing that we need to drill down on?
And I like that a lot. Because when you're small, you have to do things like that because you don't have process yet. But like, that should turn into process at some point,
right?
Which is like, everyone knows what their role is in the interview process with that candidate.
Right.
Because otherwise, like, you're not able to have an effective conversation about them, which means you're going to make more mistakes on who you hire.
So let me also comment on the writing example, because we use this also for sales hiring.
Oh, awesome.
So one thing that we do even before we get a candidate to come in
is
we tell them to, once we've talked to them on the phone and we like them, we tell them to do an outbound cold email. And we tell them, hey, at close.io, we don't do outbound cold emails right now. But just as an exercise, I'd love you to think of a company you think would be a good customer. Identify an an individual at that company.
And write them an email.
And write them an email. Send it to me and explain to me your rationale. Right? Nice. Did you write it the way you did? Right? And the beautiful thing is we've done this with, it does a number of things. Number one, you see, can this person write? What's that person thinking? Is that person sloppy? How much time does it take for that person to write that
spelling
email?
Spelling mistakes and those spelling things are like mistakes. Easy. Jesus. You're done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then are you using some of the methodologies we're writing about or not? Right? Because we write a lot about how to write cold emails. And then it's an easy way for us to compare a candidate at a very fair, in a very fair way with hundreds of other candidates. Because we have all these emails stored and we can think about like the best ones that we had. And every time we get a new one, we can compare it and go, how did this person stack up on this exercise against somebody else?
It's really good when you need to hire a lot of people for the same role.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah. So that's another thing that we do on the sales hiring side is we have them write a cold email independently if they'll have to do that in their job. It just still shows that they're going to have to write sales emails one way or another.
Well, they're going to have to communicate it.
Yes.
They're going to have to understand their companies and their context. Yep. And this is an easy way to get them to do that exercise. I really like it.
Yes. The other thing that I'll say for sales hires in specific is, and I tell this to people all the time, is you'll never hear me say the words, I just made a great sales hire. You'll never hear me say that. And I'm the sales guru, and I would never, because I don't fucking know. Like, you'll hear me say, I just made a sales hire, but I don't know if it's great or not.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and the person kept telling me, oh, that engineer is great. It's amazing. But I'm like, whoa, hold on. This is funny that you said that. I'm like, hey, you need to stop that. You're going to be let down if you continue down that path. That's just not good, right? You think they're going to be good in your company. Great. Got it. Yeah. But like, they're not the best thing since sliced bread. Nobody is.
You don't know.
Yeah, that too.
You don't know until you know.
That's right.
Right? And also, your standards might evolve change over time. So it's unfair to them as well to just put them on a pedestal, right? It's the same thing again. But for me, specifically in sales, I'd rather have somebody, to me, consistency is king in life in general, but in sales in specific. And I'd rather have somebody in sales that's consistently okay than somebody that's inconsistently great. I used to be inconsistently great for most of my career, and it sucks. You can't manage a team based on that. You can't. The worst thing you can have are these quote-unquote superstar salespeople in your team that are completely unreliable, that have like great weeks, horrible weeks, that do whatever they want, that you know, don't follow process, that those people will fuck up your team. They fuck up your team. You need people that are consistent, you can rely on, and you can know predictably what they're going to do to build a big and successful sales team around. So to me, that means that until I've seen you a few times deal with soul-crushing failure, and until I've seen you a few times deal with these like amazing successes, and then see what do you do once you crush it and you close this massive deal? Are you showing up the next morning early and still do your job just like nothing had ever happened yesterday? Both when it was amazing and you had great success and failure. If I see that a few times, I'll start going, oh, I think, and you'll still hear me. I'm not going to say they are great. I'll say, oh, I think we might have made a good hire here. Like, that's when I start going to get excited about somebody. But that usually takes a few months.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know immediately. I don't. The other sales specific, it's not just an interviewing, but a hiring a hack here is that you need to hire in triplets when it comes to sales. So you have one position, you need to bring in three people. And you need to, you know, usually if you can, we want to put people on a 1 month contract. You pay them really well so they don't have to worry about things. But I need to have three people at that same level to be able to compare performance accurately. Because if I have like two really senior salespeople that have been around for 2 years with us and now I hire a junior person, how do I really judge? It's hard to compare. And also I want to create a little bit of a competitive environment for them where they have people to compare themselves with in a fair fight. Right?
I love how the other salespeople that talk about sales say, oh, hire two. And you're saying, fuck it, hire three.
Fuck it. Yeah, hire three.
Makes more sense.
Hire three, because to me, two, you might have a dilemma. With three, you have choices, right? So, all right, I want to throw out a general interviewing hack that I've evolved over the time, and it's working better and better for me. So, I used to always have this part of a conversation in an interviewing process where I would tell people, hey, listen, in the interviewing process, The company typically shows up in the best version of itself. The candidate shows up in the best version of itself. And that's natural, right? That we all try to be the best version of ourselves in this kind of interviewing process. But the problem is that sometimes a company or an individual, they're so good at it that they're not the best version of themselves. They're a totally different version of themselves. And then you hear down the line, I picked this up from some comedian where, like, you know, 3 months down the line after a relationship, people are like, oh, he changed so much. He didn't change. He just became himself, right? Or she. Like, eventually, they couldn't, like, keep this version up anymore. They just fell into being themselves.
That's awesome.
So I always told this to people and said, hey, let's just try to attempt to be as much ourselves as possible so there's no disappointment down the line. Recently, what I've started doing is not just say this, but I started to do a little game with them where I'll say this and I'll say, let's just attempt a game. I will tell you something that's bad about myself or our company, something you could be disappointed about if you find out on your own in the next few months. And then you say something that might be negative or disappointing about yourself. We go back and forth. And if at some point we feel like we're turning each other off, good, then let's do it right now.
Instead of wasting more time.
Yes. If we survive this exercise, that might be a good sign.
How's that working out? It's good.
Really well. That's awesome. Know what the funny thing is about that? I just did that yesterday with a candidate.
Yeah.
Is typically I start first, right, to create some comfort. And the first two things they say is usually total bullshit, right? Yeah. It's usually those types of things. Just tell me something negative about yourself.
I'm a procrastinator. Oh,
I'm working too hard and I'm too honest. Yeah. You know, is that those negative things that are actually positives? So I let the first or two slide, and then I start mocking them and go, all right, let's now start the real shit. Don't keep giving me this, like, I'm too hardworking, too honest. And they usually have to laugh themselves and go, ah, okay. And then usually the third and the fourth thing, they're really good things they haven't thought about saying. They usually say, I would never say this in an interview. And then I can take these things and I can, like, look through the lens of that and everything else I do in the interviewing process. So yesterday, for example, the candidate said, okay, so one thing I might have is that I lack focus sometimes. And the moment he said that, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because everything he said was a little bit like a little bit on this side, a little bit on that side. So that adds up. So
always adds up.
So then I asked that person a very focused question, and they're not. They did an okay job, but not great. So the next person that talks to them, now all we are focusing on is that.
Yeah, how do we get them to focus?
Yeah, can we get them to focus? Yeah. Are they focused?
Yeah.
Because the person told me about, like, how he has learned to deal with that and how he's improved. So now we'll do some tests on that, right?
Yeah.
But some really valuable shit comes out of that that's real. And also, I honestly tell people some things I think are shit. Like, I'm telling them, here's the mistake we did in the last year, and here's the price you're going to have to pay in your position for it, right? And I want them to know what they're getting themselves into.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's been, it's early, but that's been promising in terms of kind of the quality conversations we're having, the kind of insights we're gaining when we're interviewing people.
Yeah. I'll talk about one of the most amazing experiences of hiring that I've had, which is a gentleman named Chuck. He works at Kissmetrics. He came in and he just wrote an email, and it was a love letter. Mm. And he's still at the company, and now he's head of product, I think. This evolved over multiple years. He even left the company and then came back 6 months later. And he just sent a love letter. That's how he got the job. He sent a love letter where, like, it's almost like he did the two pager that we would have asked him to do. But we didn't even ask him to do it. And it was an inbound.
Nice.
And we just paid attention. So if anybody's listening and they want a job, like, go send a love letter to somebody. Like, go do the thing that nobody else will do, which is go in there and tell someone why you want to work there.
Yeah.
And if you're right and you're accurate and every company needs help. So if you're, like, spot on and you're a culture fit, you're going to get the job.
I love that. And
it's a sticky job if you get it like that.
But it hits a nerve, because here's a consistent pattern that I see. I'll ask candidates always, hey, you know, especially the type of people we talk to, they're smart, they're talented, they had a great career, they have options. They have options. There's lots and lots of companies that offer them interesting things to do.
Of course.
So I tell them, hey, there's so many options out there. Yeah. How are you going to choose? What are your criteria?
Yeah.
And, you know, once we go through these criteria, I go, all right, how many opportunities are you going after right now? And they tell me, well, it's about 3 or 4, whatever it is. And I'm doing my sales thing here, right? So I'll ask them, all right, so how do we rank? If everybody gave you an offer, similar terms, which one do you take?
Yeah,
which one do you take and why? And, you know, at that point, usually they have to say, you know, they feel like they need to tell me that it's my company, right? It's close out. And then I'll challenge them on that. And it's so disappointing how many times people don't do a good job on it. And I can literally sense that they kind of like this opportunity, but they like two others equally. And they are kind of oblivious about which one they're going to go with.
About the difference, yeah.
And that just breaks my heart. I'm like,
salespeople.
Not salespeople. Even other people.
I've noticed that a lot with salespeople.
No, even other people.
Okay.
And the thing that breaks my heart with this is that I'm thinking, why don't you spend more time and give it the time to fall in love with something and fully commit to it? Maybe this is a commitment thing because you don't want to be as so crushingly rejected. But why keeping your distance? Why not fall in love with a company and go all in?
I think it's hard for people to feel that vulnerable because they end up thinking they want it so bad.
Yeah.
That like if they do that and they don't get it, they're going to be disappointed. Yeah. And it's like if you didn't try, you don't even get the best opportunity you can to get the job.
Yeah.
So if anyone's out there and they're a candidate and they really want to work for a company, just send a love letter. So, might not work, but like it's going to make an impression. And that's what you're really trying to do when you're trying to work at a company. You're trying to make an impression so you get that job. And like just like they say, you know, it's competitive in terms of hiring and hiring people. It's competitive because there's a lot of companies out there and you won't necessarily get the job you want unless you're able to show that you want it. It's competitive on both sides.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what people don't understand. Yeah, you're like, oh, hiring's hard. I'm like, yeah, I've been hiring for a long time. It's hard, but who cares?
Yeah.
Like, we'll figure it out. Trust me. You know, we'll figure it out.
So I love the love letter. Yeah. And a step before the love letter even is try to fall in love.
Yeah.
Like when you go out there to get a job, please just make yourself vulnerable. Who gives a shit? Rather have your heart broken and then deeply fall in love and find that right place than compromising and just settling for something that will never break your heart, but never make your heart sing anyways. It's just life is too short for that shit. Just please open your heart and try to find that company that you're going to madly fall in love with. And then go all in. Go all in.
Yeah.
That's it from us. Alrighty. So make sure to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. Join the Facebook group. Over 1,000 people. It's growing fast. Amazing community. And also, we haven't said this in a while. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please, and you love it, and you appreciate what we do, please go and give us a review. Give us a rating. It bumps us up in the charts. It makes more people find out about us. The more people we reach, the bigger our community is going to be and the more helpful we can be. So that will be highly appreciated. We really, really appreciate every single review we get.
That's right.
All right. We'll hear you next week.
See ya.